Okay, we're picking up with the Gemara 10 lines from the top of Ayin Beis Amud Aleph. Says the Gemara now, V'imaya tonu shum davar achar rashai, that if the husband claims that he made this neder for her to go to the wedding or funeral was because of some other reason, and he's permitted. So Gemara asks, what is this davar achar? My davar achar. So Zok the Gemara, Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Meshum b'nei adam prutzin shemitzuyin sham. It means that he didn't want her to go to this area because there were a lot of people who were not sanua, people who were not, whatever, dressed appropriately. It was not nice. It was not sneas over there, and he thought it was not right for her to go to such an event and to those type of events, and that would be a valid neder. So says the Gemara, Amar Vashi lo Amran ladis chasek. But that can't you just make up that? Oh, I don't think there's sneas over there. Just make this neder. Rather, it has to be that we had some sort of established proof that would be the case. That this what there are people who are not sneas. Aval lo is chasek lo kol minei. But if it's not been an established thing, then he does not have that ability to just say, oh, I think they're not sneas, and therefore makes this neder. That would be room for her to demand the divorce and get her suba. V'im arman almanat she told me that you say what you said to me, he has to divorce her. So Gemara says, v'tema. Well, what exactly was so bad? Say these things that she said in private. What exactly is the issue? So Gemara says, Amar v'yudom ha-shmul dvarim shel kalav. It's talking about things which are embarrassing, that their husband said something specifically to them, private matter, and maybe an intimate conversation, some explain, and that is something which is obviously very embarrassing, so that would be grounds for divorce. Oh, shetimale omar la'ashpor, condition that you fill up and pour into the garbage. So Gemara says, v'ta'avid, is that such a bad thing to take out the garbage? It doesn't seem like it's so crazy. So says Gemara, no, this was actually a saganah for something else. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, shetimale v'nofetzes. Is telling her she should fill herself and pour it out, meaning that they forced to have relations, and then she would he would force her to not make sure that the zera would his man's sperm would not go into her by like turning over and prevent them from getting pregnant. That is not something which he is allowed to do. She filled 10 pitchers of water, pour them into the garbage. Shmuel understand you could force the divorce and give her ksuba for these things. Although a woman is not formally obligated in Puravu, she wants to have them as a support for her in old age, and every woman wants to have children. So therefore, the husband's insistence that she is trying to avoid becoming pregnant is reason to assume that she'd be allowed to divorce him. Ela lemasnisa, according to the Braisa, Maynaf Kalamina, what's the difference if she pours some pitchers of water into a garbage? Tiavid, what is so bad about doing such a thing? So says the Gemara, Amar Rabba Barchana, Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Bipnei Sheniris Keshoita. Because doing that makes her seem like she is crazy. She's a crazy lady. She's not mentally stable. Amar Rav Kahana, Madir is Ishta, someone who makes an editor for his wife, Shalot Tishal Velo Shetashel. She can't borrow her land. Nafa Chvara, Verichayim Vetanar. Yotzi V'Seng Suba. If they can't give her a ton sort of sieves, two different types of sieves, or Chayim is like a mill, or an oven, then she can force the divorce and get her ksuba money. Shemasiya shemra b'shchunaseya, because if you're not lending these things, people are going to say that she's a miser, she's not nice, she's not generous, I don't want to be friends with her, and no one wants that reputation. Tani nami hachi amadr sisha shalot tishal v'lo shatashil. She did not borrow, she should not lend. Nafa kvara rechayim v'tanu yotzi v'sen ksuba b'nei shemasiya shemra b'shchunaseya. We have a support from this halacha in the Braisa. V'chein hi shindar shalot tashil v'lo tashil. And similarly, she makes this neder also, that she's not borrowing a lenden. Nafa kvar rechayim v'tanu, the sieves or the mill or the oven. Shalot te'arav begadim non levanav. She will not wave nice clothing for her children. Teitei shalot b'ksuva. She can be forced to divorce, and she will not get her ksuba money. Because again, it's going to be, they're going to be known as the not generous family. No one's going to play with them. No one's going to want their kids to play with them. They're going to be stingy. And those are things that the reputation that the husband also is allowed to demand that he wants that. What about the neder for not making the nice clothing? Apparently, this was a minute to do such a thing, and therefore it's considering a like it was a tonight of the ksuba, and therefore she must be accepting that when they're going into the marriage. Meaning, clearly, that's like something that everybody does, and all of a sudden she decides she doesn't want to do that. There is someone point out that is the issue with not making the fine clothing for the children. Now the mission continues with other grounds for divorce in a marriage. Ve'elu yotzel shalob ksuba. Another, more people are divorced without getting a ksuba. Ha'overes al das Moshe of Yudis. Someone who goes over das Moshe. Das Moshe is the din d'oraisa, or what was Yudis is the practice of the Jews. So she, the customs of tznias of Yiddishkeit, she clearly, she doesn't want to do them. She is not interested. So the Rambam implies that as long as these are the normal practice, that is going to be what would be grounds for divorce. If this is something that was not expected necessarily, the Rambam does imply that it might not be something which is going to be grounds for her to forfeit her ksuba. I believe, I remember Shechter Shlita saying this as well, that he said that if a couple was not religious, and so the woman was not dressing sneezily, and that's how they got married, and then all of a sudden the husband comes to Baal Tshuva and wants to force his wife to start being religious, so he doesn't. I think I remember him saying that that would not be al daitafi. They did not get married, and therefore there was not the what she was expected, and therefore like covering her hair, for example. Maybe the other things with sneezes might be more when it's like whatever other things that are mamish, but we may consider it das moshe. But definitely, potentially covering her hair. Well, the Gemara is going to get into covering her hair, so we'll have to see. That might be not necessarily room for divorce in that circumstance, based on this Rambam. But generally, of course, if they got married and they were in a very firm Torah observant community, and then the woman all of a sudden just decides to throw it away, that would be based on this Mishnah grounds for divorce and reason to punish her that she should not even collect her ksuba money. Says the Mishnah Vayeter, Ve'ezri das Moshe. What is considered das Moshe din deraisa machilas shena musar? She feeds him produce which is not a meiser, meaning an iser deraisa, well, or potentially b'zmanazem meisers might be derabanan, but in general, the fact that you're not eating it is isurim. Misham shonida, or she also doesn't care of nida without telling him she has bia with him, and he thinks she's tahor and she's nida. Din deraisa v'lokotza l'chala, she doesn't separate chala from the bread. It's a chiyuv misa b'dishamayim. V'noderes v'inu mekayemes, and she makes a neder and she doesn't fulfill them, even though generally this is for her own halacha, not necessarily related to him, but bavor. We're going to see, but Avor Nedarim Bani Mesim, so that's Kilo, it's affecting him also for that purpose. And Ezri Dasi, what's considered Dasi Hudis? Yotza Verosha Perua, she goes outside and her hair is uncovered. The Gemara is going to point out, Lachor, this is a Dindarais as well. Vatova Bashuk, she is going to explain what is the lack of Tzinias in this Din. And when Dabarasim Koladam, she just is a flirt, speaks with all these men. And Abba Shalomer, Afa Mikalasi Ilda Bafanav, she curses his parents in his presence. Right? And not nice. Rabbi Tarfonamir, Apa Kalanis, and it was very noisy. We're going to see specifically for what. Beza Kalanis, Lishayim Adabaris, Basilf Besa, Ashkena Shamin Lakolas. She speaks in her house, and her neighbors hear her voice. The Gemara is going to explain this is actually specifically during the intimacy when they're having relations. So now the Gemara says, Ma'achiloso She'ina Mu'usar. She feeds him produce which doesn't have maishas taken off. Hechidami Idiyad, if the husband knew about it, so then just take them off. Nifro, she Deloyada, Minayada. And if he didn't know, then how was he ever supposed to know? He doesn't even realize, so how is it going to be grounds for divorce? Because that could never happen. So the Gemara says, Lo Tzricha. It's talking about a case where the Amra Le Ploni Kohen Tikin Li Esakri. She said, Reuven the Kohen, he took care of the Truma and Rises for me. But Azal Ashkach Shikra, he went and asked the guy, and he said, what are you talking about? I never did anything for that. So we see that that she completely lied, and she made it up. So the Gemara asks the same thing. If we didn't know her status, then he should not have relations with her. And if he did, opposite. If he did know that she was a nida, obviously, he should not have relations with her. If he didn't know, so then how is he ever going to know? You're allowed to rely on a woman. This is the halacha, very important halacha. This is the source for Eid Echad Neman Bisurin. We see the Eid Echad Neman Bisurin specifically is by a woman, actually. And this is one of the dinim where we learn it. We also learn it potentially from Truma, that we learn it from Truma as well, that an Eid Echad is Neman, and Be'isr V'heter, for those purposes, we are allowed to believe one Eid. Shenemar V'safra La Shivas Yamim La La'atzma, that she should count for herself 7 days. La for herself, there's not like a beast to count it. It's for herself, she's believed to say that she did it, and that is, this is something which is very important. So that being so again, we believe her. She said, I had a mara, a certain shayla, if it was blood or not. Brought it to the chacham, and he said it was tahor. And he went and asked the shayla, v'azo shayla yashkach shikra. So we see that the husband went and asked, and it really was, in fact, a lie, and she had lied about it. If a woman was established as a nida amongst her neighbors saw her wearing clothing of a nida. Back in times of the Gemara, in times of Chazal, they used to wear different clothing to be less attractive, and also they were tuma vatara, so they would wear different clothing. So she was wearing the nida clothing, and all of a sudden, if the baila is bia with her, lokal mishum nida, we can assume based on the chazaka, we can establish that she was a nida, and therefore this is going to be what we see over here is that a chazaka can establish what her situation is, and therefore that create that she then is going to be punished through that hemshech. Even though in general we need aid them to be punished with malchus or misa, That's the famous thing, is that chazaka can establish what the situation is, and then misa umalkos can be implemented. That's like, right? Like, how do a person know that person's a mother? That Aser Midaris have relations with the person's mother. How do you know that who Reuven's mother was? There's a chazaka that she was with him, she was raising him, so you can assume the chazaka establishes a mother, and once the chazaka establishes a mother, if the man decides to have relations with her and that he was warned, then he'd be chayav misa. Aye, it's only chazaka that it was the mother. That's the whole concept, that the chazaka can establish what her situation was vis-a-vis the man, and then afterwards we would allow to be punished him through Edim. So this also is a similar thing. The chazaka is establishing she is fully a nida. Once we know she's a nida, having bia with a nida would create a situation of malchus. It's also interesting to note that when we say shenemar v'safra la'shivas yamim, the famous shita of the Shla Hakadosh, that he says that when you each day of counting the 7 days of a nida or the zava, so that would be safra la'shivas yamim, really specifically about a zava. So that would be a mitzvah to count. So that's a fascinating thing. So we see that there would potentially be a mitzvah to count based on this pasuk, "Asarfa la'shivas yamim." Most assume that that's not true. And I forgot who it was. One of the Achronim had a very nice lashon to the L'shag HaTzariyeh, or maybe one of them later after the Shla. The Shla was such a big tzaddik, he wanted to add a mitzvah to give mitzvahs, more mitzvahs to Klal Yisrael. There was no such mitzvah. But anyway, that there is a nice idea that there's nothing to lose from saying, you could say, "Ayom yom." Like echad libuni to start counting the shivan akim, and you bekai ba mitzvah according to the shlosh. You have nothing to lose by doing so. So you don't say l'shem yichud beforehand, but to do it for a woman is probably recommended. So the Gemara says, "Vayter v'lo kotzel l'chala." She does not separate her chala, and he eats it. So the Gemara asks the same exact thing. Hey chidam idya da nifrosh. If he knew about it, he should separate the chala himself. And if he didn't know about it, then how is he ever going to know about it? So the Gemara lo tzricha, it's only needed where darmalei ploni gabali tikin le seisa. So again, we keep giving the same akimtas where she specifically said, Reuven, the baker, did it for me and took off my challah. He went to ask Reuven the baker, and Reuven the baker said, "What are you talking about? This never happened." So that would be the case where she is grounds for divorce. She doesn't fulfill her nedarim. Damar mar, we mentioned the Gemara is going to say this. The Gemara says that if a person doesn't fulfill his neders, and Chas V'Shalom, his children are going to die when they are young. Shenemar al titenes picha lachtos b'sarecha. Don't allow your mouth to cause your flesh to sin. What is going to be? V'ezon ma'isei adar shalom. What is it considered the ma'isei adar, the work of man's hands? Haveomer banav v'bnoisev. This is talking about his sons and his daughters. Therefore, we see that one's children, Chas V'Shalom, will be punished if a person is not fulfilling their neder. Avnachonar ma'hacha l'shav akesi es b'neichem. In vain I had literally hit or punished your children. Lashav is al iske shav. The lashon of shav, l'shvua shav, right? So making a false l'shvua, so similar thing, but not making a false neder for shvua. Those are something which are going to be create chas v'shalom that a person's children can die. Be very careful with that, also, especially with regards to people. Bizman azeh, where people generally are pretty good about not making nedarim. Bizman azeh, but we have other things that people don't realize, like nidrit staka, even thinking, establishing you are going to give somewhere and saying that you think you're going to give somewhere. You have to be very, very careful to give the money right away, especially in the time of Elul. That's the post can recommend that to just keep a cheshbon of all the stakas that you owe and try to take care of them before Rosh Hashanah. Tanya, Rabbi Meir, Omer, Kol, Yodeb, Ishtosh, Nedarim, Seinu, Mekayemes. Anyone who knows that his wife makes nedarim and she doesn't fulfill her nedarim, Yachzer, Vidarena, he should go back and be madir, meaning pronounce a vow forbidding her. So where's the adirena? But my mesakin, why is it helping her by keeping the neder? Eliyahu Vikna, rather he should get her all stoked up about it again. She'll make the neder and he'll be able to be made for it. Lechora, the terms of the original neder are gone because you wouldn't be able to be made for that one. The husband should deliberately make his wife making all the nedarim that she would want to have made, and then he would annul them without her knowledge, and then she would think that they're enforced and they're not. So the Gemara says, "Amrullah enadam dara im nachash b'chvifa." So the Brisa says that like, we can't tell the husband to like deal with this. That the snake's going to come and literally living with the snake in a basket. The snake can come and bite you without realizing what's behind you. Whatever, she can make nedarim, and the husband won't see her. So therefore, they don't want to live with her. Tanya Yehuda Omer Kol Yedav Yitzur Sheina Kotzel Achala. A woman doesn't separate challah. She just go. What's the problem? She doesn't like taking challah. Go take it after she's done. So to which they responded a very similar answer that how you can't do that because you can't live with a snake in the basket that maybe she's going to meet you all the time. You'll miss it. You'll have the challah. You'll have a piece of challah. You'll realize she made it with the schnitzel and you didn't realize that was the challah and the schnitzel. Whatever it might be. And then it's going to happen that the person's going to be eating unseparated challah. So the one who taught this case with a woman who's failing to separate challah, that the husband can can be able to safeguard himself and live with her, kol shekein ha'chasan, certainly with regards to the nedarim, which are would require less of the husband being vigilant and looking around. You could say, though, that when it regards to the case of a woman with nedarim, that you're able to safeguard. However, when it comes to the food, then it's impossible that one day she's going to make the dinner and he didn't see. And if she will eat the bread, so maybe they wouldn't necessarily argue, he wouldn't might argue on the case of challah, that case, everyone would agree that you can't live with such a woman and you'd be able to meet for the neder. This one is considered dasihu. This, yotza verosha parua. If she goes outside her home with her hair uncovered. So the Gemara says, Rosha Parua Doresi, but going out with her hair uncovered is a din mid'oresa, meaning that the Gemara seems to be face value, and that there's a din d'oresa for a woman to not have her hair uncovered outside. Techsiva Para is Rosha Isha. The Pasuk says you should uncover the hair of a woman, it's talking about a sota. So we learn from there that only now you're uncovering her, but before that everybody's hair was covered. How do we know that the woman should not go out with the hair uncovered? So the Gemara says, so we're answering now. So again, this implies that we're asking a kasha now. The Mishnah implied that it's Das Yehuda, it's not Das Moshe. The Gemara is saying it's a Dindoraisa. So the Gemara is saying, Dindoraisa, turning on the next summonel, Kalso Shapir Dami. If you cover her hair with any small thing, like a basket that clearly had openings and, it was something which, if she wore it, that would still be madaris sufficient. However, das yudis afilu kalsu nami aser. It's an aser for her to even have the head basket on her head. She would have to have a more thorough covering, and that would be something which is going to be das yehudis. So this is a fascinating deal, and there's a lot to discuss with regards to hair. Is it mamish an era woman, and era that needs to be covered midoraisa? Maybe if it's not the derech of a certain community to not have your hair, maybe it's at least justifying it that people didn't do it. The Aruch HaShulchan was famous. For in practice in Russia, even amongst the big tzaddikim and people who were shomrei Torah mitzvahs, a lot of people in Europe, for Baruch Hashem, there's been a revampment after in the last 20 years. But in Europe and even in the earlier times in America, most people were not covering their hair, and that was a big problem. Obviously, that's the din gemara, beferish gemara over here. So there were some like limud schusis, like we don't want to be mekatchig on all of klai. So there are limud schusis, but it's definitely not telling you endorsing to do such a thing. But at the end of the day, though, this is something that we, Baruch Hashem, there's been a revampment towards, and we keep the din of the Gemara, and it's a wonderful thing that the lachas of the hair covering. So the Gemara says, "Vayta Amar Basim Rabbi Yochanan Kalsa Ein Ba Mishum Peru Rosh." Someone who's wearing her head basket is no violation of going out with uncovered head. Havi Rab Zira Heche Ilem Bashuk, you're going out into the market. Das Yudasi, that's the minig of Das Yudas. That was the practice of Jewish women not to wear such a thing. It's not new enough. Ve'ela B'chater, it's going to be in the courtyard. Imkein Lo Yinach Tebaslav Rama Vinu Vinshav Tachas Bayla. In the chater, you're going to learn a bas. It's very interesting why we say bas Avram being specifically. I was thinking bas Avram because like chesed, if Avram is all about, you know, being doing chesed means also like understanding the other person. The woman has to have a little bit of freedom to be in her house to walk around like that. So where's Amar Rabbi Vitimar of Kahana? Mechatzel chater v'derech mava. We're talking about from one courtyard to the other courtyard. She reminds us a little bit of Erevin. So that's Erevin, right? Though going through the courtyard to the alley. Here she's more secluded than the public there, less secluded than in her own courtyard. So the Das Yehudas would tell you that she does not need to wear it completely, but she should have something there, which is an interesting thing. Why should that be? Meaning, if we're afraid that people will see her, then really this shouldn't be enough. And if we're not afraid people will see her, then she doesn't even have to wear this. So the Chora, this is kind of like a Manashach middle ground. Why do you need this? But interesting, nonetheless, that the Mishnah says that way. So now the Gemara says, what about Vitova Bashuk? She's spinning in the market. Amar Yudah Mar Shmuel B'Maraz Rosel of Ne'adam. She's exposing her arms and she's spinning on purpose, and it's clearly nothing which is. Which is not going to be tanua. I actually just want to ment out, by the way, that the din over here, that the woman in the chater is only seen by her own family members, don't need to cover her hair. Just going back for that a moment. And that is a din that potentially could be accepted at halacha. So just that there is also the din of kimchis, that a woman, even in the house, should be covering her hair, and because that's based on the Gemara and Yuma. And a person who does that is even level, should have holier children. The Gemara says that she was zochah to 7 banim in Kohen Gadol, and she was such a holy lady, she was so tzanua. So the more machmer that, the nicer it is, if it's possible. Again, everyone to their own level. But in the house, with immediate family members, but pashtas, that's a whole shayla. When she's married, or her brothers, even in front of her sisters, okay, but in front of the brothers, that's a shayla, in general, about the woman as well. Anyway, Vaitar says the Gemara, she goes, she exposes her arms, which clearly not tzanua on purpose. If she spreads the spreads it before her face, meaning her private areas, and she wants people to be looking in that area, or looking at her legs towards her private. It's obviously something which is extremely not tznius. And the Barisim call Adam, she speaks to every person. She's like flirting with these young guys. So that's obviously not tznua at all. I went behind her. There was a certain Arab woman who was sitting, and she was spinning very kadena panea before her keilu panea as a lashon saginar for her, near her private, so people would look at her. They came into chazinan when she saw us. Paske la pilcha shadisei, she broke off the spindle and threw it down on the road to start talking. Amr li, like to pretend, like, oh, look what I just broke. Ulam avli pelach amar rabukva milsa. So she said, can I borrow a spindle? Where rabukva said a comment that she considered this a violation of das yehudis. Even though she was an Arab, he was just pointing out the halacha would be something that would be grounds for divorce if she was Jewish. The Gemara was just, we just see like the Moraim are always in halacha, even though you're walking around. So Gemara says, "My Amar Ba, Ravina Amar Tava Veshuk Amar Ba," because it's someone who's weaving in the marketplace. Oh, she really was violating both. That's the shayla. She was trying to flirt with us. She doesn't even know who we are. She would be like flirting with random men. Obviously, is not allowed, and that would be something which would be grounds for divorce. Also, the Tova Vashuk, also both of them were violations of what this woman had done, engaging in this conversation. Ava Shul Omer, Af Mekalel, so led him to find out someone who's cursing her parents in front of his presence. Amar Vidam or Shmuel, Mekalelas, there's a different curse over here. Yolada Bifne Molidav, curses the husband's parents before his own children to get them to hate the grandparents. That's not nice. Remember, this is Ephraim Menashe, Reuven, and Shimon, Yehuda. Meaning that Ephraim Menashe should be to me like Reuven and Shimon. That we see two sons of Yosef, Ephraim Menashe, were to be counted as the two Shvatim. They're no different than his own children. So you don't do that. You don't make them not like their grandparents. That's a very big thing for Shalom Bayis. So you should always be nice, especially Mechubad. They can talk about them in tremendous reverence to a person's in-laws, especially in front of his children, so that they should also have the reverence towards their grandparents. Amar Rabba, Damar Le, Nichle Arya Lasave Bape Brei. May a lion devour the grandfather, is cursing his father in front of his son. That's what he says. So he curses him that should happen. Fine. So that's where I invite Rabbi Tarfon Amar Afa Kulanis, a woman who is making a lot of noise. And where says, what's so bad? My Kulanis, what is this woman who's making a lot of noise? Amar Vudamar Shmuel, Beshamez Kola, Iske Tashmish. She's always talking, raising her voice about intimacy with the husband, even when the husband is, she's like fighting him loudly, specifically that the neighbor should hear him, embarrassing him about having relations. Or she demands intimacy with him loud enough that the neighbors hear. This is not, again, tremendous violation of tznius. She's having marital relations, and everyone can hear her where she is. She's overhearing her relations. She's screaming. So the Gemara says, so that should be a mumna. It's a physical blemish. She couldn't do that. So the Gemara says, it's not talking about that. Rather, the noisy woman is specifically someone who talks about these private matters in public. If a man is mekadesh a woman on condition that she is not doesn't have any nedarim, and she's not taking any vows that would have any restrictions on her, but she did have nedarim under her belt, meaning she took nedarim before, and he can't be made for them. And so therefore, the whole kedushin is gone. However, he married her without any tonight, he didn't make any such stipulation that she should, if she has nedarim, then he doesn't want to be with her. Nimtzal nedarim, however, there were nedarim. Teitzah shelo b'ksuva, then the marriage is valid, but she can be divorced without being paid her ksuva. Meaning, it's not a mekach taos, but it's enough that she should have not done that, or at least informed him. Since she didn't inform him, then she's punished ki'ilu, and she's divorced without, he could divorce her without even having to pay her ksuva. Almana shein b'mumen, if there, he makes it tonight that she doesn't have any defects, v'nimtzal b'mumen, and she did in fact have such defects, that in a mekudesh, there is no condition whatsoever. Kansastam, if you married her without this tonight, benimtza b'mumen and taka, she had these defects. Teite shalavak suva, she must be divorced without having her ksuba paid. Kolamona posim b'kehanim, posim b'nashim, any defects that disqualify kohanim from the base of mikdash would disqualify women. They are considered defects in the context of marriage, where the husband would be able to divorce him. Utnan nami gaba kedushin ki agavna. So in kedushin, we also learn this halacha. That meaning, why then does the same Mishnah appear twice in Kiddushin and in Ksubas? So Gemara says, "Halacha b'Ksubas itzuchay." So here we're talking about the matters pertaining to the Ksuba, the matters of Ksuba, the whether or not she's entitled to Ksuba. However, when it comes to she's allowed to be divorced without being paid her Ksuba. Tana Kiddushin atu Ksubas. So therefore, we mention Kiddushin once, already mentioning the deal of Ksubas. Hasam Kiddushin itzuchay. But there, with regards to Meseches Kiddushin, again Meseches Ksubas, which is why it's fascinating. Actually, that comes first. Really, Meseches Kiddushin is first in the order, right? First, you do Eirusin, as I mentioned many times over. then you do nisuin. So it's a fascinating thing that over here we're saying we're discussing nisuin first. But really, either way though, hasan kedushin yitzchak halei. The point of kedushin is that the Mishnah is telling us the halachas of kedushin. Tana ksubas ata kedushin. The Tana taught us halachas with regards to ksubas. Because of the fact that we are mentioning kedushin over there, Agav will mention halachas of ksubas once we already mentioned it. So really, the same exact Mishnah does in fact appear twice: sefes kedushin, sefes ksubas. Amar biyochan Mishnah Rishon Beni Otadek beilu darim amru. What type of nedarim we're talking about? She shouldn't eat meat, she shouldn't drink wine, she shouldn't wear nice clothing. These are the type of nedarim. These things are considered an inui nefesh and unattractive to the husband. That would indicate, or maybe that these type of very strong nedarim, others explain the Ravid quoted by the Rashba, that maybe these are type of things which shows she's a very angry woman. Things that are inoy nefesh, that things are, right, that are going to afflict her, that are like denying her of certain life's things. Not to drink wine. Not to make yourself look good with nice colored clothing. So that is going to be a problem. But things that are less than that apparently would not be included in something that is affecting the relationship. That's what the Gemara clearly implies, and that's what I think we assume, even halacha lemaisa. Havi bara papa, hey, which halacha does the Mishnah refer to? Ilei Marisha, the first case in which the husband made a kedushin and made a t'nai that she not be any nedarim, came into kakavit, but since he specifically made a t'nai that seemingly any nedarim, afilu komilei nami, anything should be included in that cause for divorce. Because he said, I don't want you to have any nedarim. Ella safe, it's on the latter half of the Mishnah. So then, if that's the case, the Braisa is teaching us that she forfeits her ksuva only if the neder was a strong enough nature to something that would create something uncomfortable for the husband. Ravashi or the Olam Rish. No, Ravashi is really, it is going on the Mishnah. The Braisa is teaching us that even though he explicitly made the t'nai that you want to have nedarim, mita dekap the inche yavek peda kpeda. That the thing that most people are makbid about, that's understandable that he'd be makbid about that as well. However, something that is mita de lo kap the bay lo avek peda, something which is not generally something that people are going to be makbid about, that's not something that we are makbid about here. Itmar, we learn, kitchal t'nai ukantestam. Regarding the one who did the kedushin with the t'nai, but then when he did nisuin with her, so he done with the chuppah, he never said anything about his stipulation anymore. So Rav Amar Tzvicha Minu Get, Rav says that she requires a get from him in order to release from it. It's seemingly some sort of a mechila. Shmuel Amar Ina Tzvicha Get. Shmuel says, no, the original t'nai made by the kedushin is chal, even after the nisuin. So turning on to the next time. Now Amar Abaye, Lo Tema Taime De Rav Kevan Shekan Sustam Machal Chal T'nai. Don't tell me that the reason had it not been for Rav's ruling, I would have been followed such a case that not only would the marriage be valid, she would even be entitled to her ksuba. And Rav is teaching Yudah Chiddush, so then that he's waiving the stipulation. Ela time of the Rav, lefisha in adam osa bi'ilas bi'ilas nus. And a man doesn't make his relations to be of that nature that he was making them to be a bi'ilas nus, because if he in fact was keeping that t'nai, so then on the wedding night he's coming out that he's not having kedushin, he's just having relations with some random girl he's meeting on the street, which is considered a bias nus. That's a promiscuity. That's not something which is he would want to do to himself. So therefore, Rav is assuming there's some sort of mechila done. But still, you would be able to force a divorce to assume that the relationship is something which that neder is something which you don't want. But at the end of the day, the fact that you had a relation shows that you would want at that time at least your mochel on the t'nai. Okay. Blazer Hashem will pick up a hapligi bazinu on Shabbos and then a recording session with Daf Ayin Dalet. Have a great Shabbos.